Wow, what a joy. You know, Epiphany is my favorite time of the year. Epiphany is Judy and I's wedding anniversary. 28 years ago today, I had an epiphany when God revealed to me the woman that He had for me to spend the rest of my life with. So, we are grateful. And the other thing is, I could never forget our wedding anniversary being a pastor. And one of the first things on the church calendar for the new year is Epiphany. So, my message this week is called A Guiding Star to Epiphany. In Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, it says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. A star should appear from Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And then over in Isaiah 49:6, it said, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. On the website, and I think I'm pretty sure by the time this is recorded, Phil will put a link to a picture or a painting that I run across. And the painting was found in the catacombs or the tomb of Priscilla. And it's probably one of the oldest paintings of the early church. And it's a depiction of Mother Mary and the Christ child, and beside her, Balaam, the Gentile prophet, who is pointing to a star. In one of the other pictures, it's amazing how the Bible is coming alive, and through archaeology and different things, that they're proving the scriptures. In Numbers chapter 24, it says, the sign of the Messiah. And this is some of the early paintings that identify the story birth of Jesus and Balaam's early prophecy. Numbers 24:17. I reiterate, it says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. A star shall appear from Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Now, Balaam, a son of Abraham through Ishmael, a divine seed, and prophets or prophecies, whatever you want to call them. They called them a seer in the olden days. Unites God's people, both Jews and Gentiles, by blessing Israel rather than cursing them. He had been sent by King Balak of the Moabites to put a curse upon Israel as they were expanding into Canaan. But Balaam was unable. He was blocked, if you remember the story, blocked both by an angel and his own donkey. As he praises the Jews, he also offers a messianic prophecy. It was written in Numbers 24 that a star would appear from Jacob, a scepter would rise from Israel, and the scattered remnant of Jacob would be reunited. You can also find that in Micah chapter 5 verse 2. So the early rabbinical texts interpret this star as the Messiah himself, or the light of Israel. We know him as the light of Christ. Amen. So the light to the Gentiles, they see the star and scepter, both metaphorically names for Messiah, who would be a human priest and a king and the divine Son of God. Now, many Christians and secular liturgist scholars have labored to identify the exact astronomical event that had occurred around the time of Jesus' birth. Early scholars and the most European and Eastern scholars even today identify the star rather as a prophetic symbol, metaphor, if you would, representing the incarnation of the Christ into the world. They also call attention to the lineage of Balaam, whom, like Daniel, they identified as Magnus, Balaam Eastern. It's most likely he was a Persian, you know. Modern-day Iran is really Persian. And the ancestors would have studied these texts and signs, waiting for the child to appear. So when the stars aligned, they knew the light had been born. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. And we're receptors of this beautiful light in the modern day, as Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the divine star. Jesus is the light. He is the high priest. He is the king. He is the Son of God and light of the world since the beginning of time. So think about the parallel to John's gospel. It's no wonder that light is such an important and powerful metaphor in the scriptures and in Jesus' own life. In his baptism and his transfiguration, just as in God's presence moments throughout the Hebrew scripture, God emerges and incarnates to us as light. On the plaster slab, that same catacomb where the other picture was found, we find another painting, likewise uniting the prophecy of Balaam with the arrival of the Magi at Jesus' birth. In that painting of Mary holding baby Jesus and Balaam standing behind her pointing to the star and the three Magi, hurry with capes waving to offer the child significant gifts to mark his arrival into the world. Like Balak, the Moabite, Herod, too, wanted to curse the Christ child. He, in fact, wanted it so badly that he ended up slaughtering thousands of young boys to try to get to him. Yet due to the Magi in the angelic dream, he would be unsuccessful in killing the child Jesus. Instead, the Magi would bless the child, the gold star and scepter, and Israel's future. Interesting, Herod's lineage was an Edomite, which is also a branch of Moab. Although his mother had converted to Judaism, the parallels in the scripture and beyond are just interesting. They're fascinating because the Gentile Persian Arab Magi, quite wise to Herod's plot, as it turned out, literally saved Jesus' bacon, so to speak, or his, you know, he saved him. And it was helped by God's messianic plan to unfold and bless him as the light to the Gentiles. Now, Israel was always meant to be God's light to the Gentile. Although they failed miserably at it, God always meant for all of creation to live in harmony and to worship together as one people. Israel was not chosen to be exclusive, but to promote inclusivity, to be the light for those who could not yet see. Sounds familiar? I think Jesus used this phrase all the time. He was the light of the world, and the mission to the Gentiles and to the gathering of God's lost was an important inclusivity issue with the messianic message. Within Jesus' ministry and within the early church, a mission that the Apostle Paul took deeply to heart, but it began long before Jesus. The Gentile mission was embedded in Hebrew theology from the beginning of time. Throughout history, shaped and shifters and tricksters would attempt to soil that message, to misinterpret God's intention, or to block God's way in uniting his people. You know, you talked about it in the pastor's thoughts about, does the devil go to church? Well, Satan was trying to destroy it right back from the beginning. And many times, those who most pushed others away were those most closely aligned themselves with the synagogue, the temple, or yes, the modern day church. Their message would be one of exclusivity, of regulations, of righteousness, or of purity. Yet the prophets who first pointed to the Messiah were not the status quo. They were foreigners. They were outsiders. They were Magi. And more importantly, they were Gentiles. They recognized Jesus before anybody else and prayed for unity, peace, blessings, and change. Oh yeah, Jesus' message is clear. Jesus, the shining star, the light of the world, came to unite all people and reconcile them to God and with each other. Who are we to say otherwise? So, on this Epiphany Sunday, just as long ago, Jesus remains our guiding star. He remains with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, to bless and to guide us toward inclusivity, harmony, love, peace, towards all of God's people. Yeah, in our world today, in which Israel and Arabs continue to struggle against each other, in churches, otherwise, and everything around the world, churches continue to ban those they see as unworthy of their pews. Unfortunately, that's the case around a lot of the churches. Thank God that doesn't happen here at Bethel. We all are worthy of God's love, and we as the people of Bethel United Methodist Church welcome that. And with some Christians, sometimes they do. They turn up their noses at the Hebrew Scriptures as unworthy of their attention. But Jesus and His teaching, His love, and His grace begs us to differ. So this Epiphany, may your Epiphany become the opening of your eyes and hearts to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. In the light of His glory and grace. And then the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Hallelujah. So turn to Jesus, the light of Israel, the light of the Gentiles. The blessings to all of God's people all around the world. And may we strive for love and peace and gentleness in this new year as we move ever so slightly but steadily towards the light. And may He be in Jesus, be your guiding star now and always, evermore. Well, I mentioned you can do some research on the web, and you can Google Balaam and the Star of Bethlehem. It's a history of the early church, and you'll find those pictures and other things that are very interesting. Well, I hope and pray you have a good day. This is Holy Communion Sunday, along with being Epiphany, as we celebrate God's grace and love in Jesus' name. On the website, you can find the Holy Communion service, and I hope and pray that if you can't be with us in person, that you will participate in the liturgy and the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Hope and pray you have a wonderful Epiphany Day in Jesus' name. Amen.